have a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KBKM and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music, KBKM and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
I wouldn't be here today, but God, Well, it's Tuesday night, 10:30 in the Post Meridian. With your host, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. And so glad to have you tonight on this glorious Tuesday night as we make ready to study the Word of God and all that He has for us as we study tonight. Amen. Let me check our board tonight. The wonderful vibrations and lovely Kimmy Kim, are you with us tonight?
Kimmy Kim is in the building, and I am just love that song, God's Grace. Amen. His grace. Hallelujah. That song just takes me back. So, hallelujah.
All right. Out of Upper Marlboro, Maryland. Bishop Elect, have you arrived yet?
I know I made it. I'm still on the road, but I am on the phone. Bless you, sir. How are you today?
All is well. Y'all can buy his album next week. That's the hit song.
Yeah. You get the garage copy.
All right. Let us go down to Savannah, Lord Jesus. Let's go down to Augusta and pick up another brother. Hey. Are you with us?
Sing one song, one time, chewing grandpa, one country, one pie, or hungry pie. Yes, I'll be right here with you on the voice. Praise God.
He's loose.
Richard, we got the African
bishop. African bishop from Mexico. Or Mexico One. I'm not sure where he's from this week.
Yeah. He'd be from a couple of different places.
Yeah. He goes, drink the Mexican water. You'll feel something. That's what he's saying now.
He's resting for the night. But if and say hello, Elder Felicia Flight, if she would come on. And just say hello to everybody, and then you can mute back out.
Hello, everybody. I am here. God bless you.
Suck it now. Look who's on the telephone.
Yes.
Let me stop.
Thank you.
I won't start no trouble tonight. I'll behave myself, I promise. Okay, my fingers
Thank
crossed.
You for being with us tonight. And it gives me pleasure to know that you are with us.
Amen.
All right. Now, last week I had phone difficulty, so I don't know what y'all talked about. So y'all will, Bishop Richard give us opening prayer and somebody give us the scripture. We're going to see what y'all talked about last week.
Let us pray. Precious Father, it's in the name of your Son, Jesus, the one who sacrificed his life, paid the price for each and every one of us, that we come before you, humbling ourselves. Father God, first we want to thank you for keeping us all day long, Heavenly Father. Thank you from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. Thy name is worthy to be praised. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, you kept us safe from all hurt, harm, and danger, and allowed us to assemble ourselves right here on this wonderful program on this given day. And now, God, today we want to give our hearts, our minds, our spirits, our voice, and this particular program to you. Put it back in your charge and back into your care. We're evicting, kicking out, and canceling the plans of every disruptive, distractive, disturbing spirit. You already know you can't stay here, so pack your stuff up and get on up out of here. Angels of the Lord, you've got a job to do. Come forward and move them all out. All who are listening to us by way of radio, by way of Facebook, or any social media, God, we pray for a blessing upon them now. Open their ears, open their minds, open their hearts, that they will receive the engrafted word of God. Anoint each and every voice that is on this particular podcast, Father God, that we would bring forth that which you've given to us. Thank you for the tongue of the learned, God. Thank you for giving us a word that will minister grace unto the hearers. We place this into your charge and care and have this confidence in you that which we've asked according to your word is accomplished and done. And it's in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Give us our scripture on whatever scripture y'all used last week. And then we're going to hear what you had to say.
Scripture last week was 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1 and 2. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Last week, by the aid of the Holy Spirit, we talked from the thought, receive us. And the thought was built on the premise of having been removing ourselves from that which is ungodly, that which is unholy, that which is unrighteous. Not being unequally yoked with the unbeliever, not having fellowship with unrighteousness and darkness and so on, and coming out from among them to be separated, that we can be received by God so he can be our Father and we can be his children, if you will. That was the scripture that he shared with us. He said that we would be his sons and daughters and he would be our Father. So having received such promises, we were told to cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, which is a job that we are required to do. Yes, we can have God to cleanse us, but God wants us to do some things on our own. And cleansing ourselves from all filthiness of both the flesh and spirit is a requirement. Then we are told to perfect holiness in the fear of God. Now, having done that, we go on, and the next thing is that the apostle says, receive us. He says, this is the reason. We have wronged no man. In other words, we've done nobody no wrong. We haven't brought any injury. We haven't brought any deceit. We haven't brought any corruption, and we haven't defrauded anyone as to say that we have kept them from the truth. So receive us because we are clean and our objective is just to help the people of God to be who they are meant to be and become who they are designed to become. So the thought was receive us.
Okay. What you got to say, Kim McKim?
Well, hello, last Kim? Week it was very, I'm so sorry, I was. It was very, very uplifting because it showed us God's characteristics versus Satan. And one thing I love about God, he explains his ways to a way that even a two-year-old can understand. So God's simplicity is just basically saying, you know, his way is the only way. And he has given us a prime example, which is Jesus Christ. So I am in agreement with what was just said, the synopsis of last week's show. It was really good. And we also do have Chanel Robinson on as well.
Amen. God bless you, Chanel. All right. Bishop Elect, you got anything you want to throw in there?
Well, I want to throw two things in there. And good evening, Lady Chanel. So nice to have you. Listen, Scripture says to us plain and simple, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the ways thereof are the ways of death. And when you look at this particular passage of Scripture, to be received by God, we can't do this our way. We have to recognize that God's way, in fact, is the best way. I throw one more out there, and I believe it comes from Isaiah 55:8-9, where God just reminded us through the prophet Isaiah that my ways are not your ways, neither are my thoughts your thoughts, saith the Lord. And a lot of times we think the way we think God is thinking what we're thinking. God is thinking way beyond what you are thinking. Whereas you may be a half step ahead or think you're a half step ahead, God is 5 days ahead of you. He's prepping you. Even as we speak right now, Apostle, God is prepping us for this time tomorrow. And I'm going to leave it right there because there's a lot to be covered in these scriptures.
Well, I was not there, but I'm going to throw my coin and a half now. I want to back up in that scripture because it talks about how they were clean and could carry a word to this people because they were clean. And it led me back to that scripture in Isaiah where it talks about an unclean preacher, an unclean carrier. It said they were dumb dogs, greedy dogs, vicious dogs that would take the word of God with an unclean spirit and try to dish it out to folks. How is dirt going to deliver dirt? How is someone fornicating going to tell somebody that fornication is not right? How is somebody drinking going to tell the drunkard you can't drink and be holy? So when I heard that scripture tonight, I'm not going to take a long time. Whole lot I heard there that I could go into. But, you know, when you hear the fact of being holy, to be able to be received of God, to do his will, then the question comes to play, what is being done by those who carry the word that considers you a clean vessel or a dirty vessel? I heard, I don't know how many of you picked it up, but I heard in the movie Malcolm X, when Denzel Washington playing Malcolm X was supposedly had met Muhammad. Muhammad says to him, if you are as pure as a glass of water, the people will come and drink. Then he took the bottle of ink and poured it in the water. He said, but if you are contaminated, they'll come, but you'll have the people just as contaminated as you are because you're not a pure speaker of the things of God. Well, he said, Allah, but you're not a pure speaker of the things of God. So it leaves it leaves a lot of thoughts, a lot of questions for the conversation on that particular subject. And thank you all so much for carrying on that speech. Sister Chanel, Sister Felicia, y'all want to throw a penny at that scripture real quick before I move on?
Oh no, sir. I'm good. I'm taking it all in. Carry on, please.
Here we go. We got to get the stage fright out of her now.
Well, I mean, because what I can say is this. What I can say is this. Just to reiterate what Apostle said. I can't preach something if I'm not living it.
Amen.
And the people want authentic versus popularity, but you know, we'll preach about that at a later date and a later time. I can't get before God's people and tell them not to do something when I'm doing it or I'm the baddest thing doing it. That's not the way that it is. You either gonna live it and preach it or you're not gonna do it at all. So of course we've come into this time where again it has become popular that the priest can get in the pulpit and say, you do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
And people have gotten comfortable with that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we're going to tell about 5,000 people that that's not the way of God. We're going to live the word. We're going to preach the word. Otherwise, we're going to have a seat. Amen? Amen.
Amen.
So, that was Felicia. Chanel, you have anything to say?
I concur with everything everyone else said, especially what she said. You got some preachers that preach one thing, but they live in another. And they still think that it's all right. I'm a man of God, so I can tell my congregation what to do, but I'm not showing them how to do it.
Mm-mm. Wow.
I got to ask all of y'all, based on what she just said, so are you trying to tell me that carrying the gospel and being received of God is a show and a tap?
I would say it is, because when Jesus spoke, everything that he showed his apostles, his disciples, and us, he lived it. So why wouldn't we, as his children, as his apostles, as his messengers, live what we're preaching or teaching or even sharing?
Right. Anybody agree
with
that?
Because the fear of God, I'm going to add on to the sister, because the fear of God has left the church.
Mm.
So when you don't fear God anymore, anything goes.
Right.
It's a sad case because we're seeing it more and more every Sunday, every Tuesday, every Wednesday, every Friday. You know, again, I say, you do as I say, not as I do. But you fear God, so that's why you keep doing what you're doing. It's like insanity. You keep doing the same thing, expecting a different result.
Mm-hmm.
And it's comfortable. It's comfortable for people. I would rather the preacher, the teacher, the pastor, whomever it is, to sit down and repent and be taught all over again. It's like deprogramming is what I like to tell my staff at work. Deprogram yourself so you can be reprogrammed, but be reprogrammed by the real connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because as long as there is a lack of fearing God, you know, it's just shot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to flip the coin just a little bit and throw this out there. We have the flip side of the coin where you have the Pharisaic slash Sadduceic type mentalities and a lot of traditionalism that's put in place to be the standard of God, when in truth it is not the dominion that we are called to possess. It's more the domination. And so in the same facet, you can't be received when you're dominating, pressing down another soul. You've got to come up to where I am. So you've got to do A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. Yeah, okay. You like the Pharisees. Nowadays you've got, and I'm not picking on any particular denomination because every denomination has its rules, its regulations, its bylaws, and some of it is based on the word, but a lot of it's based on basic human experience. And so you take the spirit of the word out by way of the letter of what you call your law. How is God to receive that when you've replaced his word, the anointing and the power, the effectiveness of the word with your law? How does that happen? I saw something on TikTok the other day. And yes, folks, I do watch TikTok. I got to know what my young people are looking at so I'll know how to address it. Not pretty, I can tell you that right now. But still, I got to keep up with what they're doing. But what I saw on TikTok was this particular congregation where it looked like learned men, I'm going to call them that because of the robes they had on. They had three stripes, doctorates or doctors of something. I don't know what, but they were doctors of something. And they were taking belts. They had at least 20, 30 people at the altar laying prostrate, and they were smacking them on their bottom with this belt. What is that? Just help me. What is that?
I'm going to tell you what that is.
Talk to me.
A bunch of fools. Now keep on talking.
Well, yeah, I got. That part I got. And no, you're right. But the thing about it is, see, we are so trying to indoctrinate, so trying to spiritualize. Give me the right word. Any one of y'all, give me the right word. I know what I'm trying to say, but I just can't find that one word to bring it out there. We're trying to put spirituality into tradition, and it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
It's pushing people away. It's not drawing people to God. Go ahead, sis.
And let me, because I've seen the same video. It was also, I also have a TikTok. I do. I'm not ashamed of it. But I saw it on Instagram, and the first thing I said, what he was trying to demonstrate was humility. That was the first thing, because you have to, in this walk, we have to understand that we're going to be lied on. We're going to be talked about. I think that was the message that he was trying to give. However, they took it to a whole nother level.
Another level. Come on now.
It was took to another level when he began to, and to me, from what I saw, his focus was primarily on women and not everybody. Because
thank
if you watch the video again closely,
yes,
he focused
yes.
on women and not the men.
Uh-huh.
So what
yes.
are you saying, sir? Are you saying that because women, you know, they have this thing, well, women are supposed to be quiet in the church. Please, ma'am, understand the understanding of that scripture. But
yes.
Again, I saw the humility. But because people I go back to it. There's the lack of the fear of God in the churches. Anything goes. So people took that particular video. They blew it up. Now they're criticizing the church. Now they're calling it a cult. Now they're saying that if he would have hit me, I would have hit him back. All this kind of stuff. But I must say, we open the door sometimes for this kind of foolishness to happen.
I agree. And you know what? I'm glad you told me that, because when I saw it, that first thing I noticed was the pastor, overseer, bishop, whoever he was.
He had
was
on
at
a purple
the head.
Robe. Yes, sir.
He mm-hmm. sure did. And he spoke that front line was, I think, two rows of women. There were maybe, I think I counted 8 or 9 men in the whole council. Mm-hmm. And the one guy in the mm-hmm. back was striking the men. But he, and I mean, when he went to... I don't want to put more into it than I need to. The whole thing was, it turned me off because here it is. I'm trying to go into the hedges and into the highways and compel men to come to Jesus Christ. The first thing, if a sinner sees this, I ain't coming to Jesus. Ain't anybody going to be beating on me. You know, I'll turn the other cheek, but I'm going to bust them to the white meat. This is their whole mentality when you think about this thing. And I'm only going to this, when we talk about putting away, and Apostle Whitlow, bring me the scripture where you said the putting, I don't want to jump ahead of this, but the our work, what it is we're supposed to do, we have to be careful how we, in the presentations that we make. Why do you think Jesus tells us in Acts 1 and 8 that we shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon us, and we shall be witnesses? What are we witnessing? Should I be witnessing you taking a belt to your behind? I'm just asking. Is that what I'm supposed to witness? You take away, and I'm not going to just go there. Go ahead.
Let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
What y'all saw on TikTok is why the church, or why the world
mm-hmm.
cannot forgive
come
the
church.
Actions of the church. Like a Jim Jones, like Jim
mm-hmm.
Baker, like
uh-huh.
a Jimmy Schwab, and
uh-huh.
right on down. That's why they can't forget none of this stuff, because we're always doing something foolish on air. And it's just like the clip that they put on the internet of them putting the sheet over the man that was to be made bishop and then laid on top of him. That's not the way that ceremony goes. No.
Mm-hmm. No. Mm.
And
but
then,
you know what the thing about...
On the clip, the guy that's under the sheet is trying to get the other guy off of him, and it looks like the two of them is humping each other.
Lord help us. But Apostle, I'm just simply saying this. There's a lot of traditionalism that needs to be eradicated. It just needs to be done away with, okay? I mean, and I'm going to say this too. I'm not going to go too far with this because certain things we can keep, but there are some things we just have to get rid of. End of story. And to those pastors and leaders who have a problem with women in the pulpit, lose that thought process, because after all, it was a woman that carried the gospel physically. It was a woman that brought good news of the gospel physically
mm-hmm.
when he rose.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It were women that ministered to Jesus throughout his entire time in ministry. Yes, he had the 12 mm-hmm. disciples, but when his needs needed to be met, and please let's not take it anywhere except where it is, when basic needs had to be met, women were right there handling the business, right alongside those disciples. So all I'm simply saying is, go ahead.
And I want to add to that if you take the women out of the church now, you don't have...
We ain't going to have none. You sure don't. You can almost count the men on one hand. As many churches as I have seen, for every one man that was in their church, there were at least 5 or 6 women. For every one man. I don't know what the ratio is now. That was bad. And that ratio goes back to 2018. I haven't checked any statistics, and I'm not going to. Yeah, well, I mean, the bottom line is this. We are to be received by, we have to do this whole thing right.
Uh-huh.
It has to be done right. Now, I'm not saying we dot every I and cross every T, and it's a beautiful thing that we have 1 John 1:9 available when we mess up. And we will mess up. Let's just be honest about it. We will mess up. We might do something wrong, but does it have to be so obvious to the place and point that the world takes note of it and then makes a mockery of it? Generations X, Y, and Z will not come back to church because now, and I said this on Facebook earlier, so I wrote this, so I'm going to say it now so that in case you haven't read it. I am amazed that we have more confidence in Google and ghosts than we do in God. Google for information and ghosts for spiritualism. Think about that for a minute. We got more confidence in Google and ghosts. Go ahead, sir.
Unfortunately, a lot of that has to do with one, politics, and two, scientists.
Yes.
Because of the things that they put becomes more believable. And if we can really tell the truth, most of these modern-day pastors don't even believe half of the stuff they read in the scripture. So it's hard to convince somebody you don't even believe yourself. It's hard to tell somebody, oh, God's going to do this and God's going to do that, when you don't believe God's going to make a way for you, or that God's going to bring you out of that, God's going to bring you through it, that God's going to deliver, or that God's going to heal, and that God's going to turn this situation around. If you don't believe it, you can't expect nobody to listen to you, and you, because you don't believe. You, Apostle Smith, just after saying, how you going to be a drunkard, right, and you drink it, going to tell the drunkard not to drink? How you going to tell somebody to have faith in God when you yourself don't have faith in God, or you don't believe the word of God? That's just some stuff that's just common sense.
You're right. I agree with you. I agree with you. And we're not here to bash preachers, pastors, leaders. We're here to open eyes. So whoever you are listening to this podcast, you have to get into the scriptures for yourself, because a lot of things that you will see that look like God is not God. Y'all know the saying, everything that looks like gold and glitters like gold ain't necessarily gold. There are a lot of people who do a great job of painting. And the bottom line is to be able to receive the sincere milk of the word and eat the meat of the word and allow yourself to be clothed with Jesus Christ, whereby you make no provision for the flesh. It's going to take you studying to show yourself approved by God, not by man. What is God sharing with you to minister to him? Do you seek his face and ask him to search the reins of your heart? When's the last time you did a self-examination? Now, I know I'm sorry, Apostle Felicia. I wanted to fool around and mess because you were here, but now we got a serious subject going here, so you get to see the other side of me tonight.
Well, I want to sort of try to close
my
out.
My God.
And get back to our other subject, but I want to say this. This is what the Bible spoke about in the Revelation, when it told us that in the last hours there were going to be false teachers, false prophets. Those that make like they know God and don't know him, and all that kind of stuff. You know, we do stuff claiming that we're doing a demonstration, and then soon as somebody else do it, we're the first ones going to run to the newspaper, to the, you know, that pastor. If I did that this week and it went nationwide, he'd be the first one on social media talk about what was that guy doing. Well, I was following you, Mr. Nutt. You had a message of foolishness, so now they will let me try it at my church.
Yeah, well, if he can get away with it, why can't I? That's the mentality.
This is it. So, you know, in this day and hour, we cannot stop preaching the truth. There are some pastors right now in trouble in America right now because they said the word homosexual, they said the word faggot and all that in trouble right now because
Amen.
The government has come into that church, threatened their 501c3 and certain other parts of their ministry because they were telling the truth. So when we talk about foolishness, we're not just talking about the man with this demonstration last week. We're talking about there's all kinds of foolishness going on in our land right now when it comes to preaching. And the only thing I can say to us all is be sure and very sure about
yes.
your call. And
well,
do
let
it
me,
with excellence. Not being
if I can
afraid
throw one more.
To go
okay.
forward as God would have us to go forward.
I want to throw one more thing out there because I don't know to all you believers that are listening to this podcast. The scripture says, and I believe Paul said it to Timothy, he says, yea, and all that shall live godly shall suffer persecution. Walking in the path of righteousness and uprightness before the Lord is going to get you in trouble anyway. So if you're going to be in trouble, it might as well be for the right reason, for the right cause, for the right purpose. There are some who are listening to us right now that may, I'm not going to say they're going to have the exact, but they may have a Stephen-like stoning, whether it's verbally, and in some cases it might even be physically, but standing up for what is right. A lot of us are, I'm just going to simply say it, there are a lot of jellyback Christians out there. They have no spine whatsoever. They got no courage. They will stand there, and as long as the people are, yeah, go ahead, amen, praise the Lord, here's $50, bless the Lord, glory to God, here's $20 more. God said, get saved, give my money back. That's the way it goes. And scared to lose people in their congregations because they're such big tithers, but the minute you tell them about their little dirty self, through the scripture, of course, now they don't come to church anymore. You're scared to lose that $20,000 a month. Or a week or whatever it is. Don't be fearful. It is the church belongs to God. It's not yours anyway. So whether you got $200,000, $2,000, or $2 million, they belong to God. You're just a vessel God uses to minister to that congregation. I'm done.
All right. Let's
may I answer that, please? And then I'm gonna be quiet. As I stated before, I will. God is raising up a generation now.
Yes.
I'm talking about this very hour now that will stand 10 toes deep and don't care nothing about the persecution as long as they're doing and saying what thus said the Lord.
Amen.
They don't care about that. I'm going to stand on it until God corrects me. There are so many people that desire for other people to get it right so that they can go ahead and jump in. See, I'm a starter. Everywhere I go, I start. I'm a fire starter. Not literally, but I'm a fire starter. So there are people that's waiting on me. To, you know, she's an elder now. Now she's crossing over to be an apostle. I told God, I'm not stopping this assignment in Atlanta. And I just want him to allow me to take 5,000 women out of the situation that they're in.
Amen.
That's my heart's desire because they want to see somebody who has lived in a project, who has had children, who had to raise children by themselves with a husband being in the house, who had to suffer just for a little while to get to where they are today. They're waiting on that type of leader. If I was crucial out there in the world, you think I'm going to become a jellyback when I cross over?
Come on here now.
That, it's not going to happen. So y'all have to excuse me. Yeah, I will not give you a book, but I can praise is what I do also.
All right.
I don't have time for that. For those leaders who want to sugarcoat stuff and no, come to me
correct. Straight talk, no chaser, as my children would say. We just don't have time for that. We don't have time for that. We're not going to play with anybody. We're not going to pity-pat nobody. I don't charm snakes. I kill them.
There you go. You got to put that on a
T-shirt. We just don't do that. Not on this side.
You got to put that on a T-shirt.
We're not going to do that. Already done.
But you still put that on a T-shirt. I'll buy one.
You
know, I don't charm snakes.
I
kill
them. You know I make them.
No,
so come on.
Well, listen. For your ordination, just have one for me. I don't charm snakes. I kill them. I just need the scripture to go with it.
Just
tread upon serpents. Hey, there you go.
That's it.
I like that.
That's it.
No, I like that.
But that's what they're looking for.
That, we got snake charmers. I mean, let's just be real. Most of us are from the old school, all right? And I know Dr. Kimmy and Sister Chanel, I know we're looking to hear from y'all, too. Just put your 10 cents in there. Don't worry. The plate's coming back your way. Anyway, the bottom line is simply this. We have snake charmers in the body of Christ. We have them. They're there. And don't fool yourself for 30 seconds. The enemy goes to church every Sunday. Some of you bring them with you. So, I mean, let's just be real about this. We're not in a fight. Well, let me say it like this. The fight that we're in right now, it's not carnal. It ain't against your neighbor. The spirits that you are dealing with, the spirits that you are having to face and stare down, you might as well say, or take down, they're not going away. They're going to be there until such time as the Lord decides to put them all completely under his feet. And that time is coming. But right now, our job is to fight the good fight of faith. So do we want to be received? Do we want God to receive us? Then we have a responsibility to fight the good fight of faith. And the fight of faith is not an easy fight. People don't understand this. The fight of faith is not it's not something you can do today and lay it down tomorrow. It's not like a light switch where you can flip it on and flip it off. It's a constant, continuous, ongoing. And it don't stop until the day either the Lord comes and takes us out or you close your eyes and sleep till he returns, one or the other. It's an ongoing battle. Let me stop right there.
All right.
All
right. Please turn to 2 Kings chapter 4.
All right. My Lord. Oh, my goodness. Somebody got it? Fall asleep?
What was that again?
Second Kings, chapter 4.
What verse, Apostle?
Verse.
Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. Thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen.
All right,
and Elisha said unto
let's stop right there so far. The woman says, my husband was a servant of yours, a man of God, but he died in death.
Think about that.
And how many preachers do we know today preaching their heart out but don't have a dime to put themselves away? Don't have nothing to leave to their church or to their family, and somebody got to have a special service to put them in the ground. Somebody talk to them.
GoFundMe account. Well, I'm going to say this collectively, and I'm not going to pick on any particular culture, race, creed, or color. Insurance seems to be like the cooties back when we were kids. Some folks don't want to spend the money on insurance because they figure they're going to live a long time. They feel healthy. They feel happy. They feel full strength. But we have no idea where death is. And somebody's phone is ringing terrible. Death is like a vapor. I mean, let me take that back. Life is like a vapor. 1 minute it's here. The next thing you know, it evaporates and it's gone. What is it about us that we can't get ourselves in a position to be prepared for the inevitable? Just as sure as you're born, you're going to die. So why not be prepared for it? Why does your family have to suffer because you fail to be prepared? And the scripture says to those brothers who are listening to me that we should leave an inheritance to our children and our children's children. That's your responsibility, sir. You are to do that. Now, for you ladies, if you're the head of your house, put something together so if something happens to you, your sons and daughters can take over, get you properly buried, and still have something to take care of business because you still have bills when you leave here. I'm not saying all of us will die in big debt, but we'll probably die with some sort of debt. Why should your family suffer? That's just my opinion.
Here's the question, though. How does the man of God preach all those years and nobody ever talked to him about having his business in order?
I have another approach, but I need somebody else to speak first.
Are we so anointed until nobody talked to us about natural life?
Talk to me.
Listen
to him. The line
is open.
Come on. Mm-hmm. Nobody?
What was the question? Sorry, I had to walk away.
My question was, the scripture says that the man of God was out preaching the word and everything, but died in debt. I said, are we so anointed that nobody can help us put our natural lives together?
We were that anointed, we'd have everything we need, and the Lord would still be our shepherd.
Right. Well,
or let me put in another frame.
Could it be that? Let me see.
What do you say?
I was going to say, could it be that a lot of people, you know, a lot of people that want to, they have this notion, because I've heard some people say this, they have this notion that if you follow God, you give everything, and they stuck on that scripture, how does a rich man get into heaven? But the thing is, what a lot of people don't understand is it's also, well, you know, God said, you know, he gave us life to have it abundantly, you know. And when I think of that, I think of he want us to have so many more things that we don't even think that we should have. Why a rich man can't make it into heaven? Why he can't? What's wrong with having money? What's wrong with being able to take care of your family and your children's children? Why is it – what happens when you have ambition? You know, because a lot of people say, well, you know, he's ambitious. He's strong-minded, and he's just after that money. I don't think that – necessary. It's a wrong thing. I think what happens with a lot of people is that we forget that even though God say that we can have all of that as long as we give him his first, because he don't want everything. He just want his first, his tenth. So what would be wrong if I'm a billionaire as long as I give God what I'm supposed to give him or what's in my heart to give? And that's it. And that's the first. Because he didn't ask for everything. He said, I want all of this. So you can't be rich. He never said that. He just want a tenth. He just wants the first.
I'm going to say something to what you said, Joe. You asked what is the problem of being rich. I'm going to ask the problem of being poor. Because if you're rich, you can pay for the funeral. But if you're poor, how are you going to pay? My thing is, if we are prepared,
okay.
If we can pay by our families and we can do right for ourselves, what is it, and I'm going to say it just like this, what is it about the black community that we don't like to buy enough insurance so we can have our funeral, bless our family, and bless the church we've been going to for years?
Good question. Good question.
When you go, and I'm not racist, but I'm calling it like everybody else calls it. When you go to these so-called white churches, and they put 10 people sitting up in there, and everybody's happy, ain't nobody worried about how the bills gonna be paid and all that, because the ones that were there before them, they left an endowment to the church.
Uh-huh. You don't see that much these days.
We come to church, jump and shout and holler and let God touch us, and we die, and the church don't get a dust.
Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, the probate gets everything.
Let's be truthful, Apostle. Let's be truthful. Because the Afrocentric church, most people don't die with the will. They simply die with a bill.
Uh-huh. So hey, listen, you ain't said nothing wrong.
Because left is a bill.
You're right.
And let's go even further than that. In the Afrocentric church, we don't want people to know our business. So what we do, if we want to look saved and we want to look like we've got it going on, so what we do is we try to live above our wage. And so when we're in debt, we want to make it appear that we're really not in debt, because can't nobody keep a secret like us. Ain't nobody going to talk about what's going on in our house. We tell our children what goes on here stays right here. And you better not say nothing to nobody. If you don't
about
eat, you better keep it to yourself. If you don't have a change of clothes, you better keep it to yourself. That's just unfortunately the reality of how it is in the Afrocentric church.
And even listening to what you just said, think about the scripture, because it does not lie. Pride goes before destruction. We've always looked at somebody sticking their bird chest out. When you tell your kids what happens in this house stays in this house, you know, we ain't got no food, you ain't got no clothes, we ain't got this. I mean, and I understand nobody wants to be vulnerable, but at the same time, how can I help you and be a blessing to you if I don't know about you? I mean, our evangelistic team had to go out and search for a people to serve. And that's nice. That's noble, you know. But there are people within the framework of the body, the church to which we are a part of, that need just as much help. And while we're saying that, Thanksgiving is coming. Our game plan is to go out and to once again serve the community, the homeless in particular. But still, I'm searching for people that are right there, that are serving right alongside of us. They won't open their mouth and say, we don't have Thanksgiving dinner at home. We don't have food. We don't have anything. Mm. You know, and if you don't open your mouth, how am I supposed to know? You want me to walk in the Spirit, nine gifts of the Spirit, seek a Messiah, he shall come on a Honda. Sister so-and-so, I sense that your clothes are torn and your stockings are tattered and you might need a little help. I hear the Lord saying, I should give you this turkey and these can of green beans.
Mm.
I don't quite think it works that way.
No, you have
I
not,
don't quite
you
think
asked it. Not.
Thank you.
Okay. Yep.
Let me tell you this. I used to have Thanksgiving dinner every year at the school that I was
mm-hmm.
working at
mm-hmm.
And I was also the PTO president. The principal come to me, want to know, you know, what can we do? Said there's always low numbers just before the Thanksgiving holiday. Our parents coming out to get their child's report card.
Uh-huh.
I said, let me worry about it. I went home and prayed about it. I said, listen, on the flyer for report card time, I said, put on there will be Thanksgiving dinner served for all parents that come out to get their child report card. How are we going to do that? We can't get no money from the city for that. I said, did I say anything about the city? I said, put on the flyer that Thanksgiving dinner will be served. Let me worry about how the food going to get here. You just make up the flyer.
Mm.
I talked to some of the teachers, talked to some of the parents and stuff. When that Thanksgiving dinner came, there was food enough to feed I don't know how many people. And the parents thought they probably were coming for a little spaghetti or something. They came in there and saw that food and went crazy. But to speed up my story, we're serving and laughing and talking. And when we got ready to go, we had a turkey left, a whole pan of stuffing, string beans, you know, the fixings for a whole Thanksgiving dinner.
Mm-hmm.
One of the teachers that had stood there and served all that time said, is it all right if I take all the leftover food with me? That I have foster kids that I raised, and we don't have nothing for Thanksgiving dinner.
My Lord, you see, look at God.
Now she's
look at God,
laughing and smiling and talking, and didn't have a thing for dinner that Thursday.
Oh,
and we wound
God.
Up blessing the families that came for report card, and then blessing her. She went home with a turkey, pan of stuffing, string beans. Oh, God, whatever we had, she went home with it.
Mm-hmm.
And that woman stood in the middle of the room and just cried. She said, I didn't know what me and the children were going to eat on Thursday. She said, but I was hoping and praying that something would happen that I could give them a Thanksgiving dinner. And as Brother Rich was just saying, we don't know who we're helping. Look at what we're studying about tonight. A man of God preaching the word of God, ministering to people, and then dies in debt.
In debt. In debt.
I mean, how are you working with folks and nobody knows you need help?
My God.
He died with a debt or in debt. Amen. He died in debt. Now the people he owed the debt to said, if you don't pay, we're coming back for the children. Now, in that day and hour, that was legal.
Mm-hmm.
If you couldn't pay, they'd come back and get your children and put your children to work in the field. until the debt was paid off.
And sometimes they cheat about that.
And so here it was, the man of God, the preacher of the gospel, no less a prophet, because he worked with the man who was a prophet. So, I mean, how does this man of God wind up in debt? Some business had not been taken care of. More than just insurance. He was doing the will of God, but some business at home went lacking. So he dies with this debt. Now the debtors come and tell the wife, "We coming back for the children if you don't have the money." Or whatever they were using in that hour. You don't be able to pay us the next time we come back. We're going to take your children. Now, how many of y'all on this line would have been ready to give up your children for the sake of your preaching husband who didn't pay the bill? Boy, I wonder what would have heard.
Child, please. Their mother would have been going to jail.
You ain't taking my baby.
Nowhere. I think that mother would have said, "Huh, much labor as I put out."
So when this story starts out, this story starts sadder than the man dying. They're in debt. They're getting ready to take the children. And he done died and didn't leave them a thing to do nothing with. But it says she went to the man of God. Oh, ain't it good to have somebody to go to? In a time of despair, in a time of need, in a time of want, isn't it glad that you can go to somebody who has an answer? She goes to the man of God and tells him about the husband being dead. And he said, "Well, what you want me to do?"
Yeah.
And actually what he was saying, the man should have took care of his home. But if whatever I can do, tell me what you want to do.
Well, Apostle.
Yes.
If I might just say this, it has often been said that if you take care of God's business, He will take care of yours.
Oh.
And that has been preached for so long.
Decades.
That people think to themselves, that means, well, if I do everything that God wants me to do, then He's going to do everything I want Him to do. And the greatest thing that I believe is lacking is that people have no money management skills. And that, again, is another. I really believe that the body of Christ, the local assembly, is responsible to teach people how to better handle their resources. That is something that people, you know, I'm trying not to go away, but please forgive me if you think I'm going away. How is it that people in the body of Christ want us to tell them what God is saying about this and that, but the two areas they don't want us to touch is their finances and their relationships? I'm trying to figure this out because people are in debt with me, but when it comes to the things that you need, you don't want to hear the man or the woman of God tell you what's what. I was just talking, you know,
I want to lash out to what you're saying there, Apostle Whitlow, if I may. Go ahead, Apostle Smith. I think I can hold what I'm thinking.
In this hour, the prosperity message is so captivating. By the ones
but,
that are teaching the prosperity message. That's why
and here's
it's so
the
captivating. So
the problem
have
with...
You, after they get finished teaching the message, they want you to sow a seed. How am I going to sow a seed and I don't have nothing in the first place?
Well, you know what the problem with that is. Now, I'm sorry, and this doesn't for everyone who teaches the prosperity message. I'm talking about the sharks in the water. So it's for their bounty, not for the blessing that the Lord's going to bring. I'm going to show you somebody that I can so appreciate. There are not many gospel artists whose concerts I will go to. And then, I mean, when I say it's a handful, it is a handful. One person's concert I will go to is John P. Key. Because I know this man, and I don't know if he still does it, but I know when he first hit the stages in the 90s, this brother would give away up to $1,000 in a concert. First thing he would say is, I know y'all paid for your tickets to get in, and I hope nobody snuck in. And, of course, one time he said, anybody sneak in, stand up, you know. He turned around. Of course, one person was crazy to do it, but that's a whole other story. But the bottom line is this. He would ask that question. And, you know, his tickets were expensive during that time because he brings his entire band and he brings his whole choir. And hotels mm-hmm. and buses and all that stuff is all involved. But this man used to take as much as $1,000 and give away $100 bills to certain ones. He would call certain things and ask for certain things, and somebody responded, the first one to respond, he gave the $100 to. Now, what it did was twofold. It caused the individuals to feel a little bit relaxed about being able to receive something, but at the same time, it spread the word. John P. Key's in town. He gives away money at his concerts. Now, I don't know if that's a good marketing ploy. I can't say what it is, but one thing is for sure. It brought him out, and it gave him opportunity and chance to minister at the proper time when his concert was complete because he did minister. I promise you, this brother did minister. Talking about no five-minute, everybody bow your head and repeat after me kind of stuff. I mean, he ministered. Do you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's effective. He used to go out into the streets of Charlotte, or Durham, North Carolina, I'm sorry, and would go to the basketball court with guys from his church, and he would challenge individuals to a basketball game. He would tell them, if you win, we'll go where you want to go, but if we win, you got to come to church with us. Most of the time, they won. Most of the time. I don't know what happened during the times they didn't win. But I'm sure by the time they finished talking, the roles got reversed. But these are just ways that we could turn around and be received of God. Because you know what comes to my mind? Putting this brother in here who did the will of God and died in debt and tying it into what we opened up with, it takes my mind to the parable of the sheep and the goats. And I'm not going to get too deep into it. Y'all have read it before. You know how it works. We have to ask ourselves, can we be sheep or will we be goat? I'm sorry. Let's move on.
We got a bunch of wolves.
Yeah, there are a bunch of wolves out there. A lot of them teaching the prosperity message are wolf-like.
Now, I want to say
a lot
this. It's already locked into our salvation.
Yes, it is.
But when you make a doctrine
out of
prosperity without Jesus, then you're just talking trash.
You a hustler. Say it right. Go ahead and say it. I'll say it for you just to protect you. You a hustler. Yeah, you heard me. No, you driving down the highway. You a hustler. Go ahead. I'm sorry, sir. Go ahead.
Now, one thing I do like, and that's Mike Murdoch's ministry. He'll tell you about money, but he's going to tell you about Jesus before you get through. And he's going to show you how your finance and Jesus go together. That's something you very rarely hear from the guys that are preaching prosperity. And we had one preacher a few years ago that was supposedly preaching prosperity until they found out he had a house on three islands. You know, he had two or three houses in America. He had hidden cars and all this kind of stuff. So they killed his program. Especially after he got on there and cried for a half hour that if he didn't get a certain amount, God was going to kill him.
I remember that.
So you got
I remember that.
You must be careful about a lot of stuff, you know, but here in our story, you know, there's a lot of stuff out there, but here in our story, this man was doing the will of God, but didn't know how to balance it with taking care of his home.
Amen.
And you hear a lot of first lady, a lot of pastors' wives or husbands tell you, they're anointed, but they sure don't know how to take care of home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true.
My.
Are they gone all the time? You know, mm-hmm. The kids don't barely get no time with them, and neither do I.
Barely see them.
Why is that, though?
Why
does that happen a lot?
Well, let me tell you, if you would allow me to answer, because there's one thing that many do not know yet. They have not come to the understanding of this word, and that word is balance. God is always with his people to be a people of balance. When we look at Jesus, there were times that Jesus was with the people, and there was a time that Jesus sent the people away. There was a time when Jesus was with the 12. There was a time that Jesus would take three, and then there was time that Jesus would go by himself. He understood balance, and that is what is lacking. The balance. Let me tell you something. If you can't balance your life, how are you going to balance your checkbook? Oh, I'm sorry. I wasn't supposed to say that much.
Yeah, you was.
No,
it's true.
Jesus had a regular place where he just went and relaxed and hung out and ate food.
That's it.
The house of Mary and Martha and Lazarus.
That's right.
The scriptures teaches and shows us that when Jesus just wanted to chill out, he went to Martha, Mary, and Lazarus' house. He didn't go there for no Bible study. No special prayer. He went there to kick back.
That's it. There's something else in that story, Apostle. There's something else in that story. Think about this. We also live in a day and age where a lot of our parents and a lot of parents today want to get their kids out of the house at age 18 or even siblings because a house, an inheritance was left to them, you know? They don't want to live in the same house because I don't grew up with you. I'm tired of looking at you. Mary, Martha, and Lazarus were smart enough, whether that house was inherited or they bought it together, but they were smart enough to make that a house of ministry. Why are we not doing that anymore this day, in this day and age? That's what made it conducive with Jesus being able to minister like he did, because they opened that house up to be. They always had company. If you ever look at that story, they always had people in the house. I'm just throwing that out there.
Let's be true. Most of these houses have dogs and cats and other kind of reptiles and things.
Yellow pythons and plastic furniture. You know the story. Better not sit down on that couch. I'm sorry. I said that out loud. I'm sorry.
But as one that traveled as an evangelist a little bit and probably went no problem and know about this a little bit, but I remember when I used to go do revivals, a hotel was unseen. You
exactly right.
That's the truth.
One of the things, you know, that they felt were walking right, they put you at that house and come by and get you daily and take you to lunch, take you to dinner, and then escort you to the service. But nowadays,
well,
because things you got to go to it. You got to go to the whole time.
Wait a minute. Apostle, let's back that up. Let's back that up. Back in the day, when you came to minister, you stayed at somebody's house from the church. If it wasn't the pastor, it was the church mother. And what happened
was
they got up, you ended up babysitting, and you ended up cleaning, and you ended up cooking so that when they got back home, something was done.
That's right.
Uh-oh.
Or if you stay at one of the church mamas, she beat you so much, you didn't feel like preaching that night.
That's true.
That is true.
When we look at the story, though, that was something that really went on, that went bad, that he died not being able to take care of his family. And his family is in trouble with a debt that cannot be paid.
Mm-hmm.
She went to the prophet. The prophet said, what have I to do with this? I know somebody's not going like this. Isn't this something, maybe I'm mistaken. Didn't the woman just get finished saying that my husband, a servant that traveled with you, is now dead?
I believe she did.
And then the prophet got the nerve to say, well, what that got to do with me?
That ain't my business.
I mean, back out there, that's one of the roughest answers you can get. And she's already said, I know my husband traveled with you.
But is he really being hard? Is he saying that because he served the man of God, that it's God's responsibility to reward him? Because let's tell the truth. There are people who serve us, and they expect us to
pay them.
But I believe that the Bible says, what you make happen for another, God will make happen for you. So if you served me, because I ministered, so to speak, then God will call someone to serve you when it's your time. So in fact, he may be right. What's that guy? He did my part. I did my part while I was here. And he did his. Now the rest is left up to God.
There you go. So what does that say to today's leader?
I know when I used to travel with one of the major preachers of this hour, the only thing he ever gave me was $10 and a bag of fruit.
Well, bless the Lord for $10.
In a personal way. He paid for hotel and all that. But personally, when I had to come home and face my girls, he gave me a bag of fruit that was already rotten.
Lord Jesus, stop.
They were rotten.
It's overripe.
The only thing my girl could eat out of that bag was what was on top. And if I hadn't got it on when I did, I would have had to throw the whole bag out. Now, one night I had to preach.
Lord.
I had to preach the next day. Now, that night they gave me $100. But in 10 or 12 years of traveling with them, they gave me $110.
Wow.
So when you talk about traveling with the man or woman of God, you're not always the one getting something.
Well, you know what, Apostle, mm-hmm. just to share with you, when I first started traveling, my mother traveled with me for the first part until she wasn't able to travel. And you talking about smooth ride? It was after she was unable to travel, finding somebody to travel with me became difficult, you know, to the point and place where folk would literally meet me at the, wherever I'm going, but they had another plan in place. So I'm going to leave that right there.
I agree with you now. When you find somebody good to travel with and they can't travel no more, that's a hard spot. But
that is.
Thinking about this man, though, because the Bible doesn't call his name. It don't tell you what kind of ministry he has.
Nope.
It just states the fact he died and was in debt, and his wife had to run to the prophet and tell her what the situation was, tell him what the situation was for her. And then he mm-hmm. says, what do I have to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
But then something happened.
That's right.
There must have been a quickening or a quickening on the man of God. What did he ask her?
What do you have?
What do you have? You are mm-hmm. asking me to help you, but what do you have to help yourself?
Mm-hmm. Let's ask and that question.
And a lot of people don't realize sometimes the answer is right there right. with you.
That's right.
That's true.
That's right.
That's really
very true.
You might have to sell the silver set. You might have, you know, come on now. You might have to go to the pawn shop and get the silver set away. And how much can you give me for this? They may can't give you $75, but it's $75 you didn't have.
Amen. Mm-hmm. It might be all you need is that $75.
This is what I'm saying.
That's the difference between having a roof mm-hmm. over your head and sleeping
sometimes. You got to do desperate things.
But also that goes back to show that the things that you already have, God had already given it to you. Like when he asks us to do things, just like when Moses says, well, I need something. He said, you already got that staff. Why don't you use that staff?
I can't do. God tells the man of God to buy a parcel of land.
Uh-huh.
The land didn't have no houses, no nothing. It was just a piece of land that you can get dirt around.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't until years later that ground made any sense. Because after buying the land, he gave the deed to one of the children of Israel, and when they had that war on the Gaza Strip, somehow, some way, Anwar Sadat got the document of the Word of God, which said the prophet brought that land years ago and gave it to somebody in the Israelite family, and the war was over. He said that land belonged to them. He said,
all
we're
right.
fighting for them.
And then they kept on fighting. They still fight today over that land, and it's not theirs.
It's not theirs. How was it not told them years ago? It's already written in the scroll. That land belonged to Israel.
Mm-hmm.
So you're fighting for nothing.
Wow.
All I'm saying is, we don't understand why God have us hold on to things for a while.
Uh-huh.
I got some knives and things downstairs right now from my mother from years ago. You can't find them knives no more. I guarantee if I clean them up right now and sharpen them and took them to a cook, I could get good money for them.
A real cook, a professional cook, not no backyard barbecue specialist.
See, sometimes God got us prepared, and we don't know it. Because God is what? He got omni-knowledge.
He got that.
And sometimes he got us prepared ahead of time, but we don't know that we are prepared. God knew, didn't know, so I can do what I couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
See, the man of God, y'all, what do you have in your house? And she played it off. Ah, well.
Hutch, little
oil. Not but a pile of oil. Said, I got a pile of oil. The man of God said, well, what you need to do is go to your neighbor's house and borrow all the vessels that you possibly can. Now, if she had just been to a couple of friends' house, would she have done what she needs to do?
Apostle?
Yeah.
Come on.
Alfred has come and tapped you on the shoulder. He said it's 3 minutes after the top of the hour.
Well, Alfred, thank you so much, Alfred. We love you when you show up, but you always show up at the wrong time.
At the pinnacle point.
So, we all right.
I vote we
love.
Right at the pinnacle.
Well, all I can say, Alfred is telling me our time is up. You've been a naughty audience. He said we cannot come back next week. At this same time, we'll close our discussion out because we must move on because a new month will be in effect. Next week.
Yes. Yes.
And so we want you to stay with us, be with us, and the Lord bless you real good. Amen. Anybody have an announcement real quick?
Oh, boy. Yes. I need to get all the information. I'll start, Apostle. I'm going to need your help to finish. And I make this announcement, and it is, if it's an RSVP, somebody let me know. But there is a very important affirmation ordination taking place in just a couple of weeks in the city of Atlanta. And we want to say congratulations in advance to Apostle-elect Felicia Flight and to the congregation down there that's under her. We look forward to seeing some of you somewhere down there. I'm not sure what restaurant we're going to, but we're going to be down there. The panel of The Voice, most of us will be down in Atlanta. So come on down. I can't invite you to the ordination because it's by, I don't know if it's by invitation, but maybe you can give more details about this. I'm not sure what I need to say on that, but I want to make sure that we make mention of that. Now, somebody in the Atlanta area is going to say, oh, well, I want to come. Well, I can't tell you whether you can come or not because I'm not in charge.
Well, you get in touch with Felicia Flight, and she'll tell you whether you can get in or not. Amen. But she will be affirmed on Saturday the 13th. That's as much as we can tell you. And if you can't make it, the best thing
pray
you can
for
do is pray. Hallelujah.
That's it.
Any other announcements? Yes, we will on next week give you the Cash App. so you can cash out and be a blessing.
Amen. Amen.
All right. Amen, everyone. Thank you for tuning in to this week's podcast. Amen. And we look forward to another week. On Thursday night at 10 o'clock will be the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Richard. And then on Saturday night we'll be Making Marriage Meaningful with Apostle Irvin Whitlow. So you don't want to miss those two happenings on this week. Same telephone number, Thursday and Saturday, are at 10 o'clock p.m. The Lord bless you. We say shalom to all.
Shalom.
Kimmy, drop that wonderful track.
Hear me? Did she go to sleep?
Hear me?
No, Taylor. Hear me, Kim?
Oh, my Lord.
Oh, Lord. Hear me, Kim?
Hear me, Kim? Mm-hmm.
Wake up, woman.
Hey, white lady.
She done left us.
Oh, Lord. Rise, woman, and walk.
Well, Dr. Kim is watching a movie on her eyelids. We're going to say good night and have a great rest of the week.
Amen.
Amen.
Wow. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't be laughing. This ain't funny. She probably draw back and drew. She drew. She's out like a light. Well, we could just hang up. The Lord bless you all.
All right, shalom.
Just hang up. Shalom, shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, Lord, this is too funny.
Hi, this is Apostle Dawn Westbrook. Join me on Shabbat Saturday here at Elite. Hey there, this is Apostle P.D. Westbrook, and I want to invite you to join me here on the Elation Radio Station podcast every Saturday for Shabbat Saturday. It is going to be absolutely epic. Hallelujah. So join me, 3 p.m. Eastern.
I'm trying to get ready. I'm trying to get ready. Trying to get ready. Sometimes I wonder how long can the world continue to stand with brother killing brother, no love in this land. But the natural truth is
Red.
for us to love our fellow man. Yet we choose hatred and guns, brothers killing brothers, and fathers killing sons. Start our walk by faith and not by sight. Stay on our knees until our brothers get it right. One day we all will see the light. We all will see the light. Yeah. Make no mistake about it. The Lord is coming. Yeah. Middle of the night, yeah. So you